Du möchtest wissen, woran im Technologiepark Weinberg Campus geforscht wird? Wer hier die angesagtesten Startups gründet und bei welchem Unternehmen du dich mal bewerben könntest? Na dann, herzlich willkommen zum Weinberg Campus Podcast.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zur dritten Folge unseres Weinberg Campus Podcasts. Es freut uns sehr, dass wir heute zwei Gäste haben, die, würde ich sagen, gute Bekannte am Weinberg Campus sind. Das sind Professor Dr. Sven-Erik Behrens und Dr. Hanjo Hennemann, die Gründer des Startups Vero Vaccines hier am Weinberg Campus. Heute wird es ein bisschen anders laufen. Wir werden diesen Podcast auf Englisch machen, weil der Markt des Startups bzw. auch Investoren, die sich das anhören, damit besser umgehen können. So we continue in English. Dear listeners, fasten your seatbelts and look forward to learn more about Vero Vaccines.
Yeah, thank you, Bert. Hanjo, Sven-Erik, let's start with your personal career and the path from academic research to the founding of your startup, Vero Vaccines. Before we get a little deeper into your entrepreneurial activities, we would like to give the listeners the opportunity to understand your path here a little better, which is why we want to start with a short introduction. So if you wouldn't mind, tell us something about your background. Where do you come from? How do you end up in Halle? How did you end up in Halle? And if you weren't already in Halle anyway, how did you meet?
Yeah, my name is Sven-Erik Behrens. I'm actually a biochemist. I studied biochemistry in Berlin, at that time still West Berlin. And my major interest has been always ribonucleic acid, so RNA. And I think RNA is a well-known terminus now, considering that most of us have been vaccinated with messenger RNA. So I did my PhD work at the end of my studies in Berlin. I moved to Marburg to do my PhD studies. And there I have been doing some, let's say, basic research on a very, very important aspect of RNA, and that is RNA splicing. So really basic fundamental research. After my PhD, however, I decided to move into a more applied topic of research, and that has been, in fact, virology. And many viruses are RNA viruses, means they have a genome which is made of ribonucleic acid. And a very important example is, for example, is hepatitis C virus. So for a postdoctoral study, I moved to Italy, actually, to a company. The aim of that company has been to develop antivirals against hepatitis C virus. However, let's say research had to be done on targets of this antivirals. And we made a very important contribution at that time. Then I moved back to Germany as a principal investigator to Gießen University. And then after that time, I moved again abroad and have been in US, in the US, working on different RNA viruses, so continuing work on hepatitis C, but also on other RNA viruses. And after that time, finally, I moved again back to Germany. And since 2006, I'm here at the Martin Luther University in Halle, and I'm leading a team of biochemists mainly, and we are still involved in RNA virus research, antivirals, as well as vaccines against viruses. And I mean, we will talk about this certainly later.
It sounds very impressive. What about you, Hanjo?
Yeah, I'm a biologist by training. I studied in Bonn and also did my PhD there in molecular genetics. After that, I moved to San Diego to do my postdoc there in oncology, signal transduction. And there I was also involved in the development of a yeast-based system for a screening purpose. And I took the system back to Germany to do my second postdoc in order to test the system and see if it can further be applied in oncology. And up to that stage, I was going straight for an academic career. Once I saw that you can use this technology also for other purposes, I switched my focus on applied research. So I then had the possibility to start up at the research center CESAR in Bonn to build up my own group. So I was an independent principal investigator at the research center Bonn with the purpose of establishing and modifying this technology to allow screening for pharmaceutical compounds, in this case peptides. So there you can already see a link to what we are doing right now, because the technology we are using here in Halle is also yeast-based. But there I founded my first company, a pharmaceutical biotech company, which focused on the development of cell-permeable peptides to target so-called undruggable targets. We were quite successful with this until the lead compound showed safety issues, and that eventually led to the discontinuous of the company. And that is a typical risk which you have in human pharmaceutical sciences, which suffer from a high rate of failure or high attrition rate. So that was then for me the a kind of turning point to go for a startup idea which had less risk and more possibilities to distribute the risk, and had also other advantages. But I think we can talk about this later. So in total, I have quite some experience in pharmaceutical and now biopharmaceutical sciences, and I'm a scientist myself, but also entrepreneur know-how.
So you both ended up in Halle, and how did you meet each other?
Maybe I can explain this a little bit. We had this GoBio project. We will talk a little later about it. And this GoBio project obviously is this transfer project from academics to economy. And we were looking actually for a person who could, let's say, achieve this transfer process, who could, let's say, accelerate it, who could support it. We were looking for people. And that's, so we, let's say, advertised that position. And somebody who was applying to this position was Hanjo Hennemann. And that's how we met.
So it was like that. I was actually approached by an investor. And I was like, that there was a startup project in Halle. And I was thinking, okay, what could that be? And it turned out that the GoBio team actually reached out also to support the identification of a person with startup and economical background. And so it was like a chain of events. So they reached out to this investor, and this investor said, well, I may know somebody. Let me talk to it. In this case, it was really networking. Sometimes it's hard to identify people by putting out an announcement. In this case, it was pure networking. So it was actually coincidental that this announcement was placed And this connection was made. So, and that led, and I was at that time based in the Cologne area, and that led actually then made me, got me interested in a startup project in East Germany or Mid Germany.
Okay. Your research and your experiences serve as an essential basis for your startup, which was founded as a spin-off from Martin Luther University. How could you briefly describe ViroVaccines in three sentences without going directly into the subject matter?
Well, so ViroVaccines is a biopharmaceutical company that develop novel vaccines for farm animals. And for this purpose, we use a proprietary yeast-based technology platform. And this technology allows the combination of multiple vaccine components in one product, is very cost-effective when it comes to manufacturing. And the vaccines which we develop can be stored at room temperature. So you can carry them actually in your pocket. This company is a spin-off company, of course, from the University of Halle. So we're local players, but on the other hand, we are also international players because our customers are not just focused on Germany, but also worldwide. We have cooperations with a Japanese company as well as with a European company. And that explains also why we are doing this podcast in English, to reach out also to these people.
I think it fits to the topic when I ask you where the name comes from. I mean, vaccines is obvious, but what does the Vero stand for?
Vero stands for truth, of course. It's a true vaccine. But it also includes, let's say, a part of the yeast system that we are using, and that is Cluveromyces lactis. So there's the Vero in there, and that's how this, let's say, combination came about.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. I wouldn't have guessed it, to be honest. What technologies have been used so far to prevent animal diseases or infectious diseases?
Yeah, I mean, the classical vaccines, that's what you're talking about. I mean, they are usually, if we are talking about antiviral vaccines, they consist of, let's say, the original pathogen means the virus itself. And the virus may be applied in different ways. So one could use, for example, the, let's say, original, really badly acting virus, so pathogenic virus, in a form, for example, in an inactivated form, dead form. One is talking about dead vaccines, for example, in this way, treated, for example, with chemicals or by irradiation in order to, of course, not to cause disease, but to apply, let's say, all the important, we are talking about antigens, means parts of the virus that induce an immune response. Yeah, so these are the dead vaccines. However, there's another way, and this involves live vaccines, so really virus that is still active. However, in order not to induce disease, this virus has to be, and we call it attenuated, means it has to be weakened. And there are different ways to achieve this. However, these were the, let's say, two classical ways of generating vaccines so far. Yeah, so basically using the pathogen itself. However, as you may have heard, also with the mRNA vaccines that all of us got in the last months, there is a new way to address antiviral approaches, and that is to use single compounds of the virus particle. so-called antigens, in order to induce an immune response against these antigens, and in this way also against the entire virus. And this is something very similar that we are using as well. However, instead of RNA, we are using actually the yeast to express these proteins and to use the entire yeast material after inactivation. So the yeast is not, let's say, alive anymore. We inactivate it and we are using the entire yeast material, including the foreign, we call it subunit, part of the virus, an antigen, which, however, induces an immune response that in the end is protective against the virus.
And how did you come up with the idea of using yeast-based technology?
Well, I mean, yeast is everywhere. Actually, we are living in an environment containing lots of different yeasts. And obviously, everybody is aware of the classical baker's yeast, which, let's say, enables the production of bread, but also the production, of course, of beverages, yeah, different types of beverages, one can say. And so it is approved as a kind of a companion of a human being. And I think this is a very important aspect, because we use, let's say, the yeast as a kind of a vehicle to express what I earlier called these subunits, these antigens of the virus. And actually, yeast is a very good, let's say, system to express foreign proteins in high amounts and also in reasonable, let's say, shape to be immunogenic. Yeah? And on the other hand, we have this advantage that the yeast is everywhere, so we are kind of used to it. Yeah? And that's actually the big advantage that we are putting, or the two big advantages that we are putting here together. Yeah? So we apply an organism we are living with anyway, kind of, yeah, as a vehicle to supply a subunit of a virus in order to generate an immune response against the virus.
Two questions regarding your input. What stage are you at now? Are you still in the middle of prototyping? And how long, if so, how long would it need to validate the product market fit in order to be ready for the market? And how do you do that? It's actually three questions. I'm sorry.
So the technology has been worked on since 10 years now. So it's already pretty mature. So we know what we are doing, and we know that the products we are working on are doing the job which they are supposed to do, which means protecting animals against infection. And our most advanced product reached the stage of regulatory development, which means now we are collecting data and generating data in order to file a so-called dossier, a registration dossier, to set the stage for analytics and manufacturing, and also do the clinical studies. In our case, we only have to do a single clinical study. So market entry for the most advanced product is supposed to be in 3, maybe 4 years from now.
If we now look back at your development and see that you first spun off from the MLU, developed that product, and currently in the process of making it ready for the market, and as I know, as your startup coach, you're about to prepare for an M&A this year. What emotions do you have about this when you think all about that?
Yeah, maybe I can start with this statement. The project that finally led to this startup company actually grew, of course, as other projects, let's say, in my laboratories, yeah, at the Martin Luther University. And in science, one is always excited about everything what one is doing. So every project is exciting, and every thing which turns out to develop in a way which you expected or you hope to get is exciting, and you are very emotional about this, of course. Here is even another, let's say, level, in the sense that obviously a startup is not every project leads to a startup, of course. So this was a particular one, and let's say the emotions, however, are very comparable to what I feel also with other projects as well, but actually on a higher level, in the sense that I mean, now we can employ, let's say, quite a number of people involved in this, and hopefully come up with a product that is in the end also successful, in the sense that I feel to kind of generate a difference, in fact, in the animal vaccine business, and to come to a market, of course.
Okay, this is obviously no fuck-up night, but let's talk about fuck-ups. Maybe you can also tell us a bit about your experience in this context. What fuck-ups have you experienced during this time, and what can aspiring founders learn from them?
Well, I really can assure you that we can also serve the whole range of fuck-ups. I mean, this is we are no exception for this. I mean, it started with misjudgments in product development, also kind of in the early phases, lack of customer feedback, of course. When you start from a university project, I mean, this is a built-in thing. Also, when we talked to investors, I mean, there was really a lot of opportunities to really fuck up, especially failures, even in advanced investor negotiations. Also, it's also fair to say that also the team had some troubles in the beginning, which we solved. In addition, now we have challenges in transitioning to a corporate culture, so that's also important. We also had periods of high employee turnover. So these are all things and challenges really which we had to pass, and there are quite many lessons learned. So one would be it always takes longer than you think, especially when you go for finding financing rounds. So people say, well, it takes 3 months to 6 months. This is all bullshit. You should count on at least 1 year and even plan for the dead ends, which I mentioned. Also, it's more expensive than you think. So you should take care of really finding public funding, which exactly fits what you're doing. One take home message was you should frequently take the customer's point of view, so just change the glasses, and it's always important to get feedback from the market early and get market feedback. It was really, really helpful to build up the network very early on, the investor network, network in the field, in the industrial field, like identifying industry corporations, to identify potential customers, to talk with market participants, with potential consultants and investors, of course. So. And then go back home and see what are the risks you are dealing with, and extract that from the customer feedback, and thereby have a chance to eliminate this type of risks. So this is, I think, yes, we had a lot of fuck-ups and hopefully had some lessons learned from that.
Okay, but your journey has definitely also been crowned with many successes, such as the acquisition of GoBio funding program of the Federal Ministry of Education and Research, which is something you have to achieve first.
Yes, one definitely can say this GoBio funding was actually a milestone. GoBio funding, the idea is fantastic. I mean, also in the, let's say, international, outset. For example, if I compare people, researchers in other European countries, there is nothing comparable. In the US is a totally different story. In the US, you have a lot of private people going around that want to share their money and to invest in all types of even crazy projects. But in Europe, this is definitely not the case. And so the GoBio funding is definitely a fantastic form of funding that enables the movement of an idea from an academic to an economic phase. And this is what we achieved at that time. And the funding or the grants are really competitive. So the approval rate is, I think, in the range of like 4%. So from 100 people, 4 people get it. However, we were really lucky and really happy to be successful in this sense. And I would like to also stress that not only the funding was very helpful, but also the people that supplied this funding and that distributed that funding on the side of the Bundesministerium für Bildung und Forschung. Yeah? They helped us a lot. They also generated some nightmares in terms of bureaucratic, issues, but they were extremely helpful in, for example, organizing seminars with people who have been successful in founding a company, what were, in fact, the fuck-ups there, what one could learn from this. And they also brought us into contact with many potential investors. Hanyo can tell more about this. So this was extremely helpful. And we are definitely very, very thankful to these people.
So overall, you were able to acquire the GoBio funding, the Series B round. So you could summarize that Verivaccine and its portfolio is creating a lot of interest for founders and also investors, right?
I hope so. I mean, as I pointed out, we were successful with different constellations of investors. There are not many companies which have this potential. Some just got stuck with one. We're kind of proud also on this, but on the other hand, when you're dealing with investors, this is a completely different world you're dealing with. I mean, sometimes you're talking to people which have a financial background and have no idea what a scientist sometimes is talking about. And there it's sometimes really difficult to find a common language and also to serve this type of customer, because also, of course, your investors are your customers. They give you something and receive something. So they are in the end shareholders and also have needs which you have to identify and serve. And this is also something with which many startups are not really prepared for, to also serve the investor needs and have investor relations which are effective. This is something which I also had to learn, that this is completely different. And applied now to our situation is we have a very special shareholder structure. So yes, we have a lead investor, which is a venture capital company, the Hightech Gründerfonds, but also we have quite a lot of business angels. So the reason also for us to go for business angels was we would like to include also external know-how in the company from various perspectives. So we have not only investors who come from a financial area. So we have like analysts from financial institutions. We have people who come from biopharmaceutical companies, which we have people who come actually from our field, from animal health, especially vaccines. We have people who know about the regulatory point of view, so they can all kind of give impact to what we are doing, but most importantly, they understand what we are doing, or we can explain to them what we are doing. And this is also very important. The biggest mistake is that you can make is your investor does not understand what you're doing and why you are doing some things. And this is something where we have a clear advantage with this structure.
Now let's talk about your experiences with our accelerator program. You've been in our growth program since October 2020. How much have you been able to benefit from it?
So the true answer is there was no benefit at all. No, I'm just joking.
Okay, bye.
No, this it's very. No, that's really a kind of really good extension to what we are doing. Recalling that we have a scientific background and we are stepping into economic questions and things, and I think the accelerator really can make a difference with regard to several questions, like for instance the business development and public relation questions which we have right now, and there we can really get a lot of support. How can we extend our visibility, for instance, in the field, and how can we build up external communication and also professionalize this? So this is a big thing. Also something which is really sometimes completely neglected is IT. So IT security. I mean, our activities lead to the accumulation of a lot of data. Data is our treasure. So we really have to make sure that this is safe. And here also, IT security is a major point where we can really get and also are also really getting help from the accelerator. I think a third point is also the way to develop our co-workers and the people who are working in the company. I mean, we have to develop them into certain experiences or fields which a university sometimes cannot supply, like quality management, for instance, to a certain degree, project management, These are all things where the accelerator is really of big help.
Yeah. In the end, I want to focus on our site here, Technology Park Weinberg Campus. Why did you ultimately choose the Weinberg Campus as your location for viral vaccines?
I think there are many reasons to do so. Sven just mentioned one. This is a huge university. It's a powerful university. And this leads also to quite a good grounding when it comes to basic research, but also, as Sven turned out, some of the projects really have application potential. So this also is important for us to get this feedback and also the support from what's going on in science and get impact from that. So this is really important. And I think we are quite well positioned that both managing directors are scientists, but on the other hand, we are deeply, we have very deep contact with the university, with Sven being a university professor. So, and the second thing is, yes, we here in this area, we have the institutes which make natural sciences. So this is per se a good environment. And last but not least, the Weinberg campus has access to lab space. So you can't really do company work at the university. So you have to find a supplier of lab space. And I think the Weinberg campus is one of the biggest campuses or providers actually in Germany, actually, right?
Right. Thank you very much. This was our third Weinberg Campus podcast. I want to say thank you to Hanjo Hennemann and Sven Erik Behrens. Thank you for listening and see you soon at Weinberg Campus.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.